This podcast was recorded on Whadjuk Noongar country. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of this land and pay our deepest respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Thank you. Witchery, written by Andrea K. Knight. Last time on Witchery, a handsome stranger wanders into an occult bookstore and the clerk, Lessie Innes, is confused by his request. "Hello," he said. "I was wondering if you had any books about werewolves." And just as she finds a chance to get to know him after hours, a shadowy criminal takes their chance to grab Lessie's handbag. Lessie cried out. There were barely any consonants to the sound she made. It was a sound of the deepest agony she'd felt in her lifetime. She was losing her parents all over again. The necklace was in her bag, and the bag was gone. And now? Episode 2. The Dating Agency Lady. Lessie Innes vaguely registered Luca Darrow running after the thief that had just attacked her. Not only had the criminal run off with her handbag, which contained her medallion, the one object she held onto as an earthly reminder of the parents she'd lost, but in the process he had also dragged away the beautiful young man that she'd somehow managed to start a second conversation with, despite her painful awkwardness. She dragged herself up to her feet, swearing under her breath. Dusting herself off, she made an attempt to run after both Luca and the thief. The thing to be understood about Lessie was this. She did not do sports. She was not a runner of any type. Lessie had hypermobile joints of a mild nature, and rather than being able to do anything really cool with her limbs or hands that impressed people at parties, her knuckles sometimes locked in inconvenient positions while she was stocking heavy books. Not only that, but when she ran, her ankles often shat themselves in painful and unpredictable ways. Her lungs soon burned as she went in hot pursuit of the men. It was indeed hot, as she'd thrown on a ridiculously funky faux fur coat with a puffy collar that was verging on the absurd before she'd left her flat. Unfortunately, it was too bulky for her to pull off and tie around her waist. "This fucking day," she said, sweat starting to gather at her temples. "This fucking arse-about, bollock-fondling shit-nugget of a day." She'd run for some time, seeing their distant figures about 100 metres ahead of her. Her stomach dropped as she saw the shorter, shapelier figure of Luca leap upon the thief like a jaguar out of a tree, and the both of them became a furious maelstrom of fists and limbs. A different feeling crashed through the panic and loss from her belongings being taken. Fear for the safety of Luca, this odd and beautiful young man she'd only just met. She sped up with a reserve of energy she didn't even realise she had, ankles be damned, and as she got closer she saw that Luca wasn't doing as well as she'd hoped, mainly because the thief, whoever he was, did not play fair. The fellow was quite happy to use any means necessary to overpower and incapacitate Luca, scratching, biting, kicking him while he was down. He ripped at Luca's hair and a tuft of dark curls drifted off down the footpath in a light breeze. Luca's fists flew, landing solidly, but the other man was fast, frighteningly so. While Luca managed to get the thief in a headlock, said thief opened the bag in his hands. He rifled through it, and Lessie began to run harder, her own fists balling up in rage. She could not reach him in time. The thief grabbed a handful of junk, and there was a terrible tearing sound as he ripped part of the bag's lining away. It would have been an easy thing to do, as the bag was well used and the cheap cotton drills she chose for the lining had worn considerably. Wriggling like an enraged eel, the dark, shadowy figure slipped through Luca's hold and with a swing, punched him in the stomach. It was a move to stun, not maim, and it worked. Luca fell down to the ground, and the thief ran away with the lining of the bag and a few receipts that had had the bad luck of being snatched up, as he balled it all up in his fist. Lessie ran headlong towards Luca, not caring about the state of her knees as she dropped down next to him on the pavement and put her hands on his shoulders. "Are you okay?"
I'm good, he said, panting, clutching his stomach.
"That fucking bastard! Why did you do that?" she cried.
Luca looked up at her like it should be obvious. "Well, he took your bag."
"But I only just met you," she gasped. "That man could have killed you."
Luca met her eyes for a moment, his thick dark brows tilting up. "Well, the bag seemed to be important to you." She sighed, closing her eyes and shaking her head.
"It's just a stupid craft project I did years ago. It's not worth your life," she said.
She turned and started picking up what was left of the handbag on the sidewalk. Her hands were shaking badly, and it took her a minute to properly grip the detritus and clutter all about her. Her stomach began to drop and then tighten as she worked her way through her things. Her purse was there, weirdly enough, some rocks, the outer layer of crochet that made the sturdiest part of the handbag, and that's when she realised it. The necklace. The medallion. It was gone.
"No,"
she whimpered, sagging at the mess in front of her. There was suddenly a warm, large hand on her shoulder. She would have jumped, but she was utterly exhausted, physically and emotionally. It was Luca, offering sympathy.
"He took my fucking necklace," she moaned.
Luca moved to give chase again, but she grabbed his arm.
"No," she cried, almost scolding him. "Don't be daft, you'll get yourself killed."
"Bloody hell, are you two all right?" Lessie glanced up at the new voice, and, like the moment of quiet before a sonic boom, so was the calm before her mind burst into rapture at the sight of the woman before her. Shapely tan legs, legs for days, large dark eyes, soft lips, cheekbones to die for, midnight hair with streaks of brown and auburn that tumbled through the windswept waves, bringing to mind seaside trees swaying in a playful breeze. There was something extremely strange about this woman. Lessie had trouble focusing on her. She could see her just fine, but something about her kept shifting as she watched the woman rush over to them and kneel by their sides.
"You're beautiful,"
Lessie sighed, tilting her head. That was the second time in a day that she had let something like that slip, and it was getting old very quickly. Her mind was trying to take in the features of the woman before her, and it was incredibly difficult. If she were asked to describe the woman, Lessie would not have been able to give anything concrete. It was as though she was changing shape, form, colour, but with harmony, like an aurora dancing. She could say, however, that the woman was perfection, that she was like the sun and the moon, that Lessie would definitely do anything for her, bugger the fact that she was a stranger. She did not feel like a stranger. She felt like she'd known her all her life. But she didn't even know her name. "Where are you hurt?" Hands like the breast of a swan were on her cheeks. Lessie went limp and gazed at the woman gormlessly, only vaguely registering that Luca was beside her and also gazing at the woman with a slack jaw. Looking at the pair on the pavement, the woman sighed and glanced down at herself, mumbling. Lessie didn't quite catch what she said, but suddenly the sun went behind the clouds, figuratively speaking. Sunset clouds of peaches and lavender that gave hope for the dawn, but clouds nonetheless. Something of the woman's radiance became easier to comprehend. She stopped shifting quite so much, and now Lessie could see she looked southern Mediterranean, of indeterminate age, dressed sharply in a power suit of an aubergine hue, and apparently quite concerned for the well-being of both Lessie and Luca.
"Oh, I'm okay," mumbled Lessie. "Him," she pointed to Luca.
"Oh, my dear darling boy, you're hurt." Lessie heard a very mild accent.
"I'll be fine," he said, waving a hand. "Trust me."
"Aren't we so confident now we're Therian?" The strange woman chuckled tenderly. "Come on, you silly kitten. Even your kind get infections and discomfort from injuries. Come on, come inside my office."
A strong, delicate hand wrapped around Lessie's upper arm. "You too, my pet."
Maybe she was still dazed from all that had happened to her, but she again had a moment where people were confidently saying things with English words, but she had absolutely no idea what they were saying. Therian? Was Luca in a band? The office they were ushered into was part of a small, very old boutique building converted into office space. It had definitely seen better days, but the decor worked with that age in the best way possible, like worn jeans on Hugh Jackman's derriere. Reupholstered chaise lounges gilded with rose gold were arranged in a welcoming but cramped foyer, beyond which was a desk, minimally decorated, with a marble statue of a swan, a wide shallow bowl of golden apples, and a tall thin vase holding one of the tenderest, sweetest rose blooms Leslie had ever seen. The room smelt utterly divine. Rose, myrrh, something else she couldn't quite place, but it evoked the same feeling as pressing your lips to your lover's neck, taking a deep breath in and losing yourself in the scent, usually a mix of their choice of cologne or perfume and their unique body chemistry. That exact feeling. Not that Leslie had a lot of experience with that sort of thing. Most of her previous relationships had been brief and embarrassing. "Sit down, do sit down." The woman pressed both Leslie and Luca onto the same lounge, and she disappeared into a door at the back of the boutique floor. Leslie turned and looked at Luca. "This has definitely been a very weird half hour for me," said Leslie. "Oh, my last 4 years have been insane," said Luca. He seemed stunned. He had a couple of welts developing into angry bruises on his cheekbone and jaw. One eye socket was a bit swollen. A lip was split. His hair was properly akimbo. "Does this sort of thing usually happen to you?" she asked. "Not this specifically," he said. "Especially not the weird hot ladies appearing out of nowhere and offering me assistance." Normally Leslie would prickle at a young man she found attractive speaking so openly about how attractive he found another woman, because she was terrible at maintaining her self-esteem with even the slightest whiff of competition. But this strange woman that had taken them in was very much hot. There was simply no other way to describe her. "She is indeed staggeringly gorgeous," said Leslie. Luca nodded in agreement and then frowned in thought. Are you into girls?" It was an odd question, and Leslie blinked and looked at Luca. "Not usually. I mean, I don't know," she said, rubbing her face. It was a question she couldn't answer, because she wasn't sure of the answer at this point. She would have said, "I'm into guys," a week ago. Now she wasn't so certain, because if she had a dick, she'd most certainly would have popped an involuntary boner at their rescuer. A thought poked through her pondering on her newly questioned sexuality, and it fell right out of her mouth. "Wait, why are you even asking me that?" Luca shook his head, loose curls bouncing. I was just wondering. I'm sorry if it's not my business." A long, charmed smile crawled across her lips, and she leant on the lounge lazily. This sort of attraction she could cope with. It was intense, but in a totally normal, comforting, regular human way. "It's okay," she said. "I don't mind you asking." He nodded, a shadow of a smile in his befuddled expression. Their rescuer swept back into the room from the door at the back of the open-plan office, a tray in her hands and a pert smile on her lips. "Now, my sweethearts, let me look at you." Placing the tray on the coffee table between the loungers, the woman turned and trained her eyes on her stunned and injured guests. With a nod, she began to administer first aid to Luca, sitting on the coffee table as she did so. Leslie watched her, enthralled. Never had applying antiseptic cream on cuts and cold packs to bruises ever been so interesting. Yet here were the two most beautiful people she'd ever seen interacting with each other, and it was surprisingly lovely to witness, though not necessarily in a sexual way. "Now, how did this all happen?" the woman asked as she dabbed at Luca's face. "Tell me everything." Leslie cleared her throat. "Some asshole snatched my bag." "I see," said the woman. "This stupid fool here tried to get it back," she continued. "I was partially successful," said Luca.
"Well, at least he tried, pet."
"I am grateful," said Leslie. "My biggest concern was his health, actually." The woman leant back, brows lifting. She seemed genuinely touched. "Oh, well, this dear sweet child shows me at once my cynicism."
"Why are you talking like you're 100? Asked Leslie. "You look like 30.
The woman chuckled heartily.
"You're very kind."
She fussed at Luca a moment longer, then leaning back, was pleased and nodded.
"There."
Turning, she looked at Leslie. "Now, how about you?"
"I'm physically fine," she said. probably won't leave the house without a bodyguard for a few months, but other than that...
You poor girl, said the woman.
And Lessie was shocked that the woman sounded like she meant it, that there was concern, sympathy, tenderness, completely unfettered, flowing from this stranger like a wide, generous river. Lessie peered at her, her brain finally catching up with social customs.
Asking names.
Names were good.
Who are you?
The woman chuckled, putting down the tube of antiseptic cream in her hands and reaching for a glass and a jug of water.
That is a very good question, she said, a smile forming on her lips that was beautiful, but, like the sea, just a little bit scary if you thought about what it was capable of.
Lessie was suddenly certain. This woman had power.
Well, my name's Kypria Uranos, and I run this dating agency you're sitting in.
Luca nodded. This room makes sense now. You do all right, then?
I get by, she said. People always need help finding that special someone. They'll usually pay for it, too, if you make it worth their while.
And you saw us...
Right outside, while I was closing up shop for the day, she said, and tuttered.
Such a shame that this happened to you.
For the first time, Lessie felt like something coming from this woman's mouth wasn't the truth. She had a gut feeling she was more than what she said she was, but she was entirely uncertain how to broach the subject.
I'm sort of into Greek mythology in a huge way, said Lessie, plunging forward in her discourse like a drunk person groping blindly in their handbag for their house keys.
Your name, it basically means Cyprus God. She waved a hand as Kypria smiled at her. I mean, Uranos is the original rendering of the name Uranus. Like, it means heavenly. Uranus was a sky god.
Luca's brows lifted.
Wow.
What? Asked Lessie.
You just straight up history nerded at this lady after she tended to us and everything.
Oh, darling, I'm fine, Kypria said.
Delighted, in fact. She crossed her legs, eyes flashing in amusement at Lessie.
You are quite sharp, and you needn't soften your edges for me, pet. I know you're not just into Greek mythology, because to you it's more than mythology.
She pointed at Lessie with a playful finger.
You're a witch.
Luca's brows lifted even higher.
What? Wow! What? Really? You're an actual witch?
Lessie felt her mind spinning a bit.
How did this woman know? And why was Luca so damn impressed?
Witches had a slightly different way of talking to the cosmos. But when it came down to brass tacks, it was all humanity doing whatever it could to survive the wild rapids of the average human lifespan, trying to either appeal to or utilize a higher power that may or may not exist.
How did you... she started.
Well, if you talk long enough to the gods, they're bound to talk back at some point, said Kypria, interrupting her.
Lessie narrowed her eyes at the woman across from her.
The woman gazed back at Lessie pointedly. There were galaxies in Kypria's eyes. She was a raging star, ageless and eternal, paradox in both light and destruction, hidden behind a veil of mortality that muted the presence but could not hide it entirely. Lessie shuddered. She was terrified. She was awed. She shifted in a spot and grabbed Luca's hand because she needed to be moored in her humanity, not unlike someone on a bus grabbing a seat to steady themselves as it goes a little too fast through a roundabout.
Okay, I don't know if I'm concussed somehow, and I'm dreaming this while passed out somewhere, or if you're trying to tell me something really weird and improbable, said Lessie.
Definitely the latter, said Kypria.
Are you trying to say you're a god? Asked Luca.
Goddess, yes, said Kypria.
Oh, don't look so surprised. You people have believed so many things over the years. Giant turtles holding the world on their backs, mermaids, tree people, godmen walking on water and turning jugs of water into wine. How is this any stranger than that?
Lessie racked her brain. If you talk long enough to the gods, they're bound to talk back.
Lessie was devoted to her pantheon. It was the yawning past that had called to her, the stories of her father's people, ancient and certain, written down in stone and clay. She knelt to divine archetypes of many kinds, but for as long as she could remember, one energy, one voice called to her above all others. The supreme feminine, a goddess vast and old, whose name had shifted endlessly over millennia, like a shoreline inching back and forth through the day. She had come from the east, and she was one of the few gods of that time that was still spoken about, still loved, still remembered by people who had never opened a history book or even thought about the past. Lessie felt like she was about to slide off the couch. The deeper she stared into this woman's eyes, the more certain she was that this was not some weird practical joke. She tightened her grip on Luca's hand, her eyes glued to Kipria's.
You... She stopped and gulped. You're...
Aphrodite, at your service, Kipria replied, lifting her hand in the air with a flourish.
Nope, that was it. Lessie definitely couldn't take it. She slid off the lounge and onto the floor. Luca jolted forward, immediately moving to help Lessie get back onto the lounge.
Oh, shh. Darling girl, be calm, Kipria said tenderly. No, I can't. I...
Lessie felt tears in her eyes. She was overjoyed. She was heartbroken. She felt a thousand things at once. Kipria, otherwise known as Aphrodite, looked to Luca expectantly. Sensing the silence, he looked up, and at Kipria's pointed expression he glanced around himself, then back at her.
What? He asked. You're not impressed?
His eyes went wide and he nodded fervently. Yes, very impressed. I was just... He pointed at Lessie, who was still gathering her wits. Concerned.
I don't know whether to be touched by your compassion for your new friend or insulted that a mortal could steal my thunder like that.
Touched. I'd go with touched, said Luca quickly. Lessie wasn't sure if he knew the capricious nature of the Greek gods, or whether he just felt the dangerous situation he was potentially in, but it was clear he was in damage control and proceeding carefully. His frantic deference seemed to mollify Kipria, and she nodded at him in approval.
You're a lovely boy, Luca.
Lessie felt like she was lost in a whirling eddy, the ground spinning away from her. But instead of wind or water raging, it was her sense of reality.
Oh dear, this sometimes happens, Kipria said to Luca, as he put a tentative arm around Lessie and took her hand in his.
The warm contact was unexpected but immediately calming. Lessie's senses, not all of them mundane, began to focus on Luca, and not the nexus of power and a pencil skirt sitting across from them both.
Just checking, which name do you want us to use, the new one or the old one? Luca asked the goddess.
She blinked, then smiled, amused.
I don't really mind. I've been called a lot of things over the years, but you can call me Kipria for now, if it pleases you.
Gotcha.
After adjusting her skirt briefly, Kipria looked Lessie dead in the eye and gave her a playful smile.
Now, are you all right?
I think so, murmured Lessie. She didn't even think about Luca's arm around her, or his gentle hand on hers, or how very fucking good he smelt. She concentrated on Kipria's brown eyes.
You must admit this has been a really bizarre day for me.
From here on, normal days shall be in short supply for you, I'm afraid.
Oh, great, said Lessie.
Are you really serious about the god thing? Asked Luca.
Deadly, said Kipria. Please don't make me prove myself, that's ever so tiresome.
You don't have to, said Lessie. The energy coming off of you is nuts.
Luca frowned.
What energy?
He can change his skin, but he can't open his mind and feel the breath of the cosmos as it rushes across us, said Kipria.
Lessie felt confusion mount within her again.
Look, if it wasn't for the fact that just looking at you makes me feel like I've mainlined half a bottle of whiskey, I wouldn't believe you either. You guys don't exactly make it obvious that you're around. It's not like you pop into the pub to catch up over a wine or two. So, you know, forgive us if we're a little bit surprised that you've actually been around all this time and just not returning our calls.
Folding her arms, Kipria looked decidedly unimpressed.
Excuse you, young lady. We hear you, and we do what we can, given our restrictions in conduct.
Restrictions? Asked Luca. What are you talking about?
Kipria sat tall, indignant.
Well, once upon a time we could do what we liked. Shoot love arrows at anyone at any time. Start wars either accidentally or deliberately. Mate with lesser beings, bring down entire cities, entire nations.
Well, those days are long over, my darlings.
Yeah? Why? Asked Lessie.
Troy was not a great look for the Greek pantheon, said Kipria.
And yes, that war was partly my fault. I wasn't to know it would blow up so spectacularly. Mortals were so very tempestuous in those days. Anyhow, then the whole Jesus thing happened. "Oh, is Jesus real?" asked Luca, suddenly excited. The love goddess turned her head slowly and stared at him, deadpan. "The embodiment of beauty, desire, and creation is before you," said Kypria evenly. "And you wanted me to permanently chilled out guy in a caftan and sandals."
"Sounds kind of rad, actually," said Lissy. "Like meeting the dude from the Big Lebowski or something."
"Well, you're more than welcome to go look for him. But I regret to inform you that your dear Jesus is not taking any new in-person appointments these days. I, however, am sitting right here," Kypri said archly.
"Sorry," said Lissy. "I have a dreadful sense of humour. And Jesus is not mine. Never has been."
Kypri's brows softened and she smiled. "Thank you for the apology. You obviously understand and respect my power."
"Very much," said Lissy.
The goddess nodded.
"Good. I'd also like you to understand that the stories about me from ancient Greece are greatly exaggerated and do not paint me in a very favourable light."
Luca looked confused.
"They don't?"
"Oh, hell no," spat Lissy before Kypria could speak. "See, what they don't usually mention in the lightweight books in the school libraries is that Aphrodite isn't even really Greek."
"She's not."
Luca's confusion was mounting.
"No, Kypria? She's from Cyprus."
"My birthplace, if you will. An ignoble beginning, some might say. To be born of a severed phallus in a roiling ocean, but a beginning nonetheless. I washed up on Cyprus's rather spectacular beaches moments later, fully formed." Kypria paused, stroking her chin idly before holding an elegant hand aloft. Hijinks ensued.
"But how did you end up in Greece?"
Her playful eyes darkened.
"I was happy in Cyprus. I was a high goddess, like Hera. My following wasn't huge, but they loved me. I was not only a love goddess, I was a goddess of seafaring, commerce, war."
"War?" Luca seemed shocked. Lissy wasn't. She was listening intently.
"Yes, you can't have one without the other, can you? Anger and love are both a form of passion, after all."
She sighed and looked down at her shoes.
"I'm afraid that my powers of war weren't needed when my cult spread to the shores of Greece. We gods, we provide what is asked for, you see. More voices called for me in my purely sexual aspect."
"Aspect?" asked Luca. "I'm not sure if I follow."
"In spiritual terms, aspect is like different manifestations of the same god," said Lissy.
"Oh," said Luca.
"Indeed," said Kypria. There was a heady sort of intoxication in becoming the most desired, beautiful woman in the eyes of an entire civilization. It took me over slowly, and almost entirely. I made a lot of bad decisions, I'm afraid. Least of which was getting involved with certain gods that did not have my best interests at heart." The goddess went quiet, eyes suddenly distant and sad. After a moment she shook herself and looked to her guests.
"Yes, well, long story short, I was powerful. I was resplendent. Then the Greeks came along, everything changed, I started acting like a messy tart, and the Olympians gave half of my powers to Ares."
"Was he real?" asked Luca.
Lissy stared at him with disbelief before looking back to Kypria. Kypria's brows lifted as she looked at him with something akin to pity.
"We're living on the same planet, aren't we? I mean, you have seen the news lately?"
"Sorry," said Luca. She shook her head and waved her hand.
"He exists, trust me. Anyway, I didn't bring you here to talk about the ex."
Kypria paused and gnashed her teeth briefly. "Oof, that came out wrong."
"Hang on, you brought us here?" asked Lissy, frowning. "Is this whole thing a setup? Did you get that creepy guy to steal my stuff?"
"Heavens no," said Kypria. "I'm a goddess of love. Not my circus is the whole violent crime thing. That was going to happen whether I was here or not."
Lissy frowned deeper. "Then what did you do?"
Kypria's eyes sparkled with glee as she looked at Luca.
"Oh," said Lissy. Disappointment crashed through her. Disappointment and dread. "He's not real, right? A figment of my imagination? Or you made a normal dude look that hot?" "I knew it. I knew a normal person couldn't be that gorgeous." Luca turned his head slowly, his brows lifting. His voice was a little choked.
You what?
Kypria's shoulders shook slightly in a contained chuckle, and she smirked at Lissy.
He's very real, Alessandra.
He's... Immediately, stress froze Lissy's face, and it hardened into pure vexation, badly hidden by a mask of approximated reasonableness.
He's real?
A real person who I have not altered or interfered with in any way, she said. All I did was exercise my power as the goddess of love and cross your paths. Lissy's mouth edged open and she closed her eyes, wincing to herself.
Fuck!
She slapped her leg suddenly in a desperate attempt to look casual.
Say, what about we forget everything that I just said in the last minute?
Kypria burst into laughter, rubbing her hands together.
Oh, goodness, I love my job.
I'm glad my deep mortification and embarrassment is so amusing for you, said Lissy through gritted teeth. She looked at Luca. He had a broad, innocent smile on his face. He looked like a kid that had just been given a bag of lollies without expecting it. She dragged her attention back to Kypria.
I respectfully ask you, why would you make the last half hour of my life happen as it did? Why put me through all that?
Well, I couldn't just appear to you. Rules, darling.
Why did you need to appear to me? Asked Lissy.
Well, I'll get to that. And what rules? She interrupted again.
The rules, dear. I thought we covered this, said Kypria.
We touched on it lightly and got distracted, said Luca.
Ah.
Kypria stood up, paced a moment, then turned back to her guests. Yes, well, restrictions in conduct. After a certain point in human history, it was decided that we gods should take a vow of non-interference for purely personal motivations. So, no more randomly impregnating people? No more stealing mortals we think are pretty to look at. No more wars because we're bored during a particularly quiet decade. We had to begin to aid you in your personal journeys through the cosmos. If we did interfere, it was because we were answering a call for help or a request or prayer from a mortal. We couldn't just turn up out of the blue. You have to come to us.
But I pray and talk to you all the time, said Lissy. You couldn't just appear in my flat and save me the emotional turmoil of today?
Kypria folded her arms.
Well, yes, you pray to me. Today I answered those prayers. I'm not going to explain the complexities of fate and time to you, dear girl. It happened the way it did because that's the way it was supposed to happen. It was either that or never seeing Luca again. Today was the day he was meant to meet you. Whether you kept talking to each other past this point, well, that was up to me. She shrugged.
I used the moment to my advantage, so sue me.
You had me bump into her, said Luca, and then some dude robs her.
As I said, he was always going to rob her, said Kypria. Whether she had help or not past that point, that's the bit where I get to meddle.
It was at this point Luca frowned, folding his arms. He looked like an angry kitten. Look, you're a really beautiful lady, goddess. I'm really thankful for all you do and everything, but I'm not a hunk of meat. He shook his head. You can't wave me around to lure unsuspecting strangers to your sphere of influence, you know.
Lissy's expression morphed into one of horror. He was talking back to the goddess of love. This really wasn't going to end well.
Calm yourself, Lissy, said Kypria, reading her expression and probably her mind. I have relaxed somewhat since the old days. Without a population of chauvinistic men and togas influencing my behaviour, I've been able to soften up my psyche somewhat.
Lissy relaxed a touch.
I am sorry you feel objectified, said Kypria gently. I am not just playing with your destiny for fun, Luca. I need Alessandra's help, and it was the only way I could get her into position to ask. This seemed to calm Luca's aggravation somewhat.
My help, said Lissy. You're a goddess. What do you need me for?
Kypria blinked slowly.
We divine beings can't do everything on our own. If we did, we'd be run absolutely ragged. Besides, you're a witch. I need a mortal with your particular skill set.
Lissy chuckled. What am I going to do? Make a mean herbal tea at someone? I don't know what you've heard about me, but I'm just a chick who digs old religions, enjoys keeping a herb garden and really likes to crochet. I'm not Gandalf the Grey. I can't do sorcery shit.
Well, you could. You said she was a witch, said Luca. Is she not...
Not yet, said Kypria.
Ah. Oh.
Luca leant back, looking at Lessie slightly differently.
I see. I thought she knew about...
What the hell are you guys not saying? Asked Lessie, irritation mounting. I have an altar. I have my witchy poo kit. I do my prayers. I commune with nature when I can. I study and I try to be one with the universe. Are there other things to being a witch that I just never heard about? She laughed mirthlessly. I mean, my uncle owns an antique occult bookstore. You'd think he'd tell me if that were the case. That guy knows everything about everything and...
She drifted off as Lucas stared at her, his expression a strange mixture of both guilt and disbelief.
Why are you looking at me like that?
He put his hands up in the air, shaking his head.
Nope, don't ask me. This is out of my depth.
She shot him a look of supreme irritation and then glared at Kypria.
Well, don't look at me like that, my grumpy little poppet. You've got a lot to learn about the world, and lucky for you, you're going to learn it pretty quickly.
Lessie pouted.
I don't feel lucky.
Kypria walked over to her desk, grabbing a business card from a card holder wrought in delicate rose gold filigree. Taking up a gold pen, she began writing on the back of the card.
I want you to see this lady. She can help you much better than I can.
You never said why you wanted her help, said Luca.
Kypria's eyes glittered as she gave Lessie the card in her hand.
She's not ready for that yet.
Lessie took it, irritation, confusion, worry, distress mounting in her as she held it and stared at Kypria.
You brought me here. You told me you're Aphrodite. You tell me I'm a witch and that you need my help. You decide not to tell me what you need my help for, and now you want me to go to some stranger and find out how to do whatever it is you want me to do.
Kypria nodded. Sorcery shit.
Lessie scoffed. What the fuck is happening to me right now?
Destiny, pet, said Kypria, smiling winningly.
She pointed at Luca. What about him?
Well, Kypria pursed her lips. I think I'll let that one play out as it will. He can decide for himself how things go. What I will say is this. She put her hands together as she looked thoughtful, then sent a pointed look at Luca as she started to speak directly to him. This young woman is at a very vulnerable stage right now. There is a lot she's going to face that is frightening, even dangerous. I'll leave the choice up to you, whether you help her with that. You know your newly acquired abilities provide you with some physical aspects that would serve you in aiding her.
But I don't even know what I am, said Luca.
You will, she said gently. Trust your instincts. Luca nodded, looking mildly worried.
And with that, I must leave you, said Kypria, turning and collecting her things from her desk.
What?
Lessie jumped to her feet. You dump all that on me, and now you're going to sashay away like I ain't no thing?
Kypria smiled. Well, yes, I'm a busy woman, Lessie, and you have a lot of work to do.
What if I decide I don't want any part of this, she said, her breath becoming heavy. Fear was choking her. It made her challenge Kypria against all wisdom. What if I walk away?
Kypria paused, pushing up her bottom lip as she looked thoughtful.
You could do that. I won't stop you. You could attempt to live a perfectly normal life in the shadows, not finding out who you truly are. I chose you, and not anyone else, because to do so would be beneficial to all involved, especially you.
Kypria took up her handbag, and Lessie found herself being ushered out the front door.
I'm very sorry to have to leave so quickly, darlings, but I am, unfortunately, a full-time goddess. 7 billion people on the planet, and that's a lot of love to manage.
She patted Lessie and Luca tenderly on the cheeks as she stood on the sidewalk, and with a smile she bid them goodbye. Lessie barely registered any of it. She was back in the eddy of confusion, fear, shock, and anger. Why was this happening? What the hell was actually going on? She thought she knew herself completely,
In the space of an hour, she suddenly felt like she knew nothing. She was a witch, a proper one, and apparently involved things she didn't realise were possible? How did that even work? And fuck, she liked women too?
Are you okay? Asked Luca.
His words felt like they were pummeling into her as they threw her from her spiralling mental landscape. She frowned at him.
I don't know.
A thought slowly crawled to the forefront of her mind, paired with a sensation. The card in her hand. She looked down at the note that Kypria had given her. In a beautiful swishy hand that reminded her of swans gliding on the water, Kypria had written the following.
Adelaide, Goodfellow.
The fuck? Luca jumped and stepped back. What? What's wrong? Lessie thrust the note in front of Luca's face.
This is my fucking aunt!
Next time on Witchery.
Alessandra confronts her aunt and uncle as Kypria's revelations upend her sense of reality entirely.
What is going on? What are you hiding? What can't you tell me?
She looked from her aunt's fraught features to her uncle's stony resolve. She felt as if she were a pool noodle trying to knock down a brick wall.
So you were going to order me to my flat, even though I'm a grown adult, thank you, and then tell me absolutely diddly squat?
We're just trying to do what's best for you, Adelaide started.
What's best for me isn't leaving me in the dark about things or lying to me. Kypria said you knew things about the world, that the world isn't what I thought it was. She said gods were here, on Earth, real. Is she right? Did you know about that stuff my whole life and you never told me?
And Lessie and Luca meet with Ashika, who is eager to take them to a new club in the neighbourhood.
I'll tell you what, said Ashika. We'll finish our drinks here and fuck off to somewhere a little more fun, eh? She winked and leapt forward. There's a new place in town.
Oh?
Lessie lifted a brow quizzically. Some joint called the Temple. Apparently it's wild. She finished, sing-song. Lessie pressed her lips together, sighing deeply from her chest. Looking at Luca, she said,
I sense a theme forming in my day, nay, life, right now.
All that and more on the next episode of Witchery. Click follow or subscribe to get the next episode as soon as it drops. You have been listening to Witchery, written by Andrea K. Knight. Produced and edited by Nancy Lorenz. Music composed and performed by Nancy Lorenz. Special thanks to Daniel and Emerald. Thanks for listening.
Nancy here, narrator of Witchery the Podcast. If you have any questions and messages you'd like to send us, write to us at thewitcherypodcastau, all one word, at gmail.com. Our social links are also in the show notes. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Reddit, TikTok, and Discord. I hope you write to us because we'd love to hear from you. If you like, your question can be answered in our post-episode breakdown, Witchery Supplemental. See you next time.